Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott, and we have finally reached the final lesson of the Advanced Course Psychiana, written by Dr. Frank B. Robinson, and it has been a wonderful journey so far. The way we have spaced this out, the way we have entered into these lessons, I've learned so much about connecting to the God realm and getting an understanding of the God law. In our final lesson, we focus on the unlimited supply of the cosmic power and Frank Robinson's concept of the great without. I will definitely miss these lessons. I've learned so much, and if anybody can find the advanced lessons too, and I've gotten a couple of them, I will continue to read some of those future advanced lessons, but I haven't been able to find the next lesson that would be the advanced lesson. So this is the conclusion of the first advanced course, and it's been wonderful. I'd love to get your comments if these lessons have improved your life or understanding in any way. Advanced course number one, lesson 20, Psychiana. Dear friend and fellow student, I am sorry that our journey together through this remarkable spiritual realm must come to an end. All things in this material world come to an end sooner or later, and I assure you that it is with a feeling of intense regret that I leave you for the time being. Our journey and our associations together have been pleasant. The thousands of students all over the world who have studied under me have been a source of continual joy. Many of them have helped me more than they realize, and judging by the thousands of letters I've received, I perhaps have been able to be of a little assistance to them too. No one realizes any more than I do the importance and the sacred responsibility of having thousands of people all over the world depending absolutely on me for proper guidance. The confidence displayed by these thousands of students will never be violated. I have never given them wrong information that I know of. I do not claim to be perfect, nor do I claim to be possessed of any supernatural power of any kind. All I do claim is that I might perhaps, through years of earnest search, have received a picture of spiritual truth, which could not be obtained by anyone who would give less effort to their search than I gave. And yet I am more than ever convinced that spiritual law is natural law. I am more than ever convinced that only our ignorance of the great God realm prevents our making use of the marvelous spiritual power this realm contains. There is nothing supernatural in the universe, nor is there anything miraculous in the universe. In my private study are files after files, literally teeming with letters received from students, and these letters state, in unmistakable language, the actual material benefits which have been received through this course of study with me. Among those letters are to be found remarkable cures. There may be found in those files happenings which perhaps might be called miraculous to those who do not understand spiritual law. But I still contend that no matter how unusual many of these cases are, they still are but perfectly natural when viewed in the light of the power lying inherent in the great God realm. There is, first of all, essentially a spiritual being, and the part of you that really matters is invisible. This invisible part of you is a definite part of the great life principle which fills all space and without which no created thing could exist at all. Now, being a part of the invisible life principle, you must see that this part of you, which really is the true and real part of you, must of necessity have at its disposal all the power and wisdom of the realm of God. Yes, and more than that, it must have, being a part of this spiritual realm, all of the power for actual manifestation that is contained in the completeness of this great God law itself. Let me illustrate a little further if I can. Try and imagine a large reservoir filled with water. The reservoir supplies a large city with water. Coming direct from the reservoir are the large mains, and these in turn feed smaller mains, which in turn feed the pipes into the thousands of houses. There is only one body of water, and that is in the reservoir perhaps miles away. Now, when you turn the faucet, the water flows. This is the same identical water stored in the vast reservoir, and more than that, there is a direct connection of water between your faucet and the great body of water in the reservoir miles away. If that connection is obstructed, the water will not flow to you. You can safely see, also, that all the power of the water in the reservoir is directly connected with the water in your house. If someone colors the water in the reservoir miles away, the water coming to you in your home will be colored, proving, of course, that there exists a permanent water connection between the source of the water supply and the outlet of the water supply, which is in your home. You will instantly grasp this illustration, and if you will also look beyond the spiritual realm, in the same light, you will see what I am driving. We know the invisible, creative, cosmic realm of God exists. We also know that you live as a direct evidence of, and through the power of this great, unseen, cosmic God law. Now then, this being a fact, do you not see that the unseen part of you, which is the real part, must be in definite, permanent, and living connection with the great reservoir of spiritual power from which you draw your life? If it be a fact, and if it is a fact, that the power we call God is the creative law which in some way, at some time, or other first brought the life spirit to this earth, and which presence caused it to manifest on this earth, it must follow that you yourself, no matter who you may be, must be in definite presence and living connection with the greatest power, with all the power the spiritual realm contains. This is a staggering thought, and yet it is the truth of life as it exists. It is perfectly true that you cannot open the faucet in your house and receive as much water as can the fire hydrant on the next corner, but that is simply because your pipe is smaller. Consequently, the pressure is cut down, but the water in the hydrant and the water in your house both come from the same reservoir. One comes with force enough to throw it over the top of a building, and the other comes with force enough to fill your bathtub. The size of the pipe, or rather the size of the outlet, limits the volume of water and the volume of pressure passing through that pipe. The same identical thing applies in the spiritual realm. If you are practically impotent as far as spiritual power goes, then you may depend upon it that your pipe is too small, your outlet is limited, and before great spiritual power can manifest, you must put in a bigger pipe. You must enlarge the outlet. Usually, we hear a man whom thousands of people follow called a tremendous spiritual power in the world, and we look at this man and say, "My, if I only had the power that he has." But do you see that this man would have no spiritual power at all, or very little, unless the outlet were large? And, as in the case of water, there can be no vacuum pipe. Just as fast as the water runs out, an unlimited supply is directly connected with it, and the faster it runs out, the greater the volume of supply. You will see this illustration, I know, and I want you to live your life in the full recognition of the overwhelming and majestic power which can flow to you in unlimited measure, and which will flow to you in the very moment you open the faucet and let it come. Many of your ideas, especially in regard to religion, have been upset in your studies with me, and the fundamental principle of so-called new psychology has been exploded. All the new psychology had to offer was passed on the subconscious mind. We have seen, however, that there is no such thing as a subconscious mind. We've also seen that there is throughout all space a far more potent and dynamic power, the manifestations of which have been erroneously credited to this subconscious mind. As we have traveled along on this little journey together, we have seen the great cosmic God presence through which every work has been done. I have brought to your attention instances of healing and other instances which have demonstrated the presence of a power, which power is universal and which power must be from the very nature of it at the disposal of every normal man or woman in existence. Jesus the prophet used this power, if he ever used any power at all, for there can be no power greater than the power of the great God law. Certainly the Galilean carpenter had no monopoly whatever on this power, for if he did, then you and I would not be able to use it today. Therefore, if the power we have learned about is the very same power this Nazarene used, then it must be a fact that if we understand this spiritual power as he understood it, we should be able to duplicate the works that he did. Many things were credited to him, which things he never did, but I am talking here only about those things which he actually did. We have seen further the theory of any power lying within is utterly at variance with the facts as they exist, and quite to the contrary, we have discovered that instead of the power coming from within, it comes from without. The great without. It is easily understood how the people of Christ's time utterly missed the directness of the message he brought, and it is easy for me to understand how the simplicity of the message went 1,000 miles over their heads. We have seen that the mighty God law has ever been at the disposal of every created soul, day and night. You could not remove the presence of the God law from this world for one instant without all life on it becoming immediately death. And remember, death is but the absence of life. All you have to do at any hour of the day or night is to turn to this great spiritual realm, and there you find it, no matter what the hour may be. And if it be there, then we may use it, for it would be foolishness to try and conceive of a universal God law which could not be found and used always and at any time. We have also seen that it is not possible to apply this wisdom and intelligence and spiritual power of the God realm to a human life and have things contrary to our highest desires manifest. We have seen that if this great spiritual power is needed to bring into manifestation in our lives either health, success, or happiness, this power being God, no one will question its ability to do those very things. Now, in this lesson, I'm going to take you back into the realm of the cosmic ray. I am doing this because it would be very easy to underestimate the importance of this staggering discovery in its relationship to the great spiritual God law this course of instruction attempts to disclose. From the very first moment I heard of the discovery of this marvelous interstellar ray or power, I thought I saw immediately a definite proof that my idea of the God law was correct. I might add in passing that long before cosmic rays were ever heard of, I had written concerning the existence of a spiritual power which filled all space and had no limitation whatsoever. The only criticism that I see at this time which might be directed at me would be the criticism that I am attempting to bring the spiritual realm of God down to the level of a material thing. But I have told you in this course of instruction that there is nothing supernatural in the entire universe. I've also told you that if this spiritual realm, with whatever God there might be, is so far removed from us that it cannot be contacted until after we die, then it cannot be much use to us now. It is true that I am endeavoring to bring the unseen spiritual power of the God law within the grasp of every human being here and now, and that certainly is as it should be, for that would entirely change the picture for every created soul. If you and I were convinced by unimpeachable evidence that there did exist throughout space the intelligence and the power and the wisdom, which was the all-creative intelligence that caused every created thing to be in the first place, if I can convince you of that, then I have brought down and put within your grasp the secret, not only of the universe, but of life itself. This is exactly what I'm doing. Furthermore, I am borne out in my contention by the findings of the world's greatest scientists who have experimented with this marvelous cosmic ray. Let me add here that too much is not yet known about this ray, and I am of the opinion that the scientists, before they have finished their investigations, will admit with me that this cosmic force or energy is an intelligent, thinking force or energy. They admit now that it is the cause of every created thing, and if that is not bearing me out in what I have written, then I do not know what it is doing. I received a few days ago from Dr. Milken's secretary at the California Institute of Technology, Pasadena, California, four of the latest bulletins on the cosmic ray. One of them is printed by the United States government and is taken from the Smithsonian Report for 1928. This report was made by R.A. Milken and G.H. Cameron. I shall refer to the report again a little later in this lesson. By the way, the publication number of this booklet is number 2986, and it may be obtained by writing to the United States Government Printing Office at Washington, D.C. I wanted to impress on my students here the absolute enormity of the possibilities tied up in the discovery of this world of cosmic energy. I see a lot in these discoveries. In fact, I see the solution to life's problems, and I see the startling fact that instead of the answer to these multitudinous problems of life lying in some so-called heaven beyond the sky, they lie even at our very doors. No scientific discovery has been made for a long time instantly. We had such discoveries and experiences in Greek and other mythologies, but very few of them have ever sprung full-grown out of a human brain. Usually these discoveries creep upon us unawares, and the first thing we know, we are using some marvelous power or discovery, and at the same time are unable to state what it is or from where it came. I'm just as convinced as I am dictating this to you that the world is on the threshold of the discovery of a perfectly natural spiritual power, which when fully understood and used, will put every natural thing on this earth into man's own hands. It has taken a long time to come to this period of scientific belief, but it is here, and as the old, worn, tattered fragments of supernaturally revealed religion have been weighed in the balances and found wanting, men and women have turned their eyes to nature and to life, and there they are surely, although slowly, finding the answer, and it is an answer that everyone can grasp, instead of believing every old pagan religious teaching that comes along. Men and women are turning their eyes not to the preachers and priests for spiritual enlightenment, but to the psychologists and the scientists and the thinkers. Many of them are willing to admit that everything these religionists tell us about the hereafter might be true, but in the absence of any proof of any kind, we do not choose to believe them. Many there are who do not doubt these wonderful stories we are told, but at the same time, there can be no possible objection to finding out what science has to say regarding this created scheme of things. You cannot prove that any of the world's crucified saviors ever had a miraculous birth, supernatural conception, supernatural resurrection, or supernatural ascension into heaven. If you believe that, you must do so by a stretch of the imagination or by a blind faith, for certainly there never has been adduced the slightest scintilla of evidence that those stories are true. On the other hand, we do know that there does exist a cosmic energy of some sort or other, which cosmic energy comes from the interstellar spaces. And when I say interstellar spaces, I shall ask you to remember that the light from yon stars and yon Milky Way took many thousands of years to reach this Earth. So when I talk about interstellar spaces, I'm not talking about a trip to Europe or anything on that order, but I am talking about millions and billions of light years away, and our little minds cannot even comprehend what a light year really is. We know that it is the distance traveled by light going at the rate of 186,300 miles a second in 1 year. But when we begin to multiply that by thousands and millions, it is slightly beyond discovery, and well, they might be, for if my theory should be borne out by these scientists, and it is being borne out, then can you not see that with a fuller understanding of this energy, thoughts of which stagger you, the solution to all creative life processes might very easily be in our own hands? Remember, it is only about 10 years since German scientists discovered these cosmic rays, although prior to that, penetrating radiations near the Earth's surface were brought to light by McLennan, Rutherford, and other collaborators who found that the rates of discharge of electroscopes could be very markedly reduced by surrounding them with successive screens of lead, several centimeters thick, thereby showing that rays existed in the atmosphere capable of penetrating such thick screens, and therefore these rays were appropriately named penetrating radiations. Active credit for most of the research, however, belongs to Dr. Robert A. Millikan and Dr. Carl D. Anderson, his associate, who, supported by funds from the Carnegie Foundation, have relentlessly and tirelessly investigated these rays and given to us scientific and therefore provable data concerning this invisible energy. One might call cosmic rays mysterious force rays bombarding this world from the interstellar spaces. As Dr. Millikan recently stated at a lecture in the East, they may be likened to infinitely small machine gun bullets traveling at enormously high rates of speed. Cosmic rays are something like light rays, but of very much shorter wavelength. For comparison, we may regard the wavelength of radio broadcasting as the longest in the scale. Next comes the rays of visible and invisible light, infrared and red, getting shorter and shorter through the different spectrum colors to violet and ultraviolet. X-rays are still shorter in wavelength, and the gamma rays, which are given off by radium, have been thought up to a short time ago to be the shortest of all. But the cosmic rays have a wavelength which is much shorter even than gamma rays and infinitely more powerful. The stupendous power of these newly discovered cosmic rays manifests itself in various ways. Some idea of the vast force of these visitor rays from outer cosmic space may be had by comparing them with the gamma rays of radium. Gamma ray particles leave the radium mass with such force and speed that sheet lead armor several inches thick is required to stop them. Cosmic rays, however, require a lead armor plate 16 feet thick to stop them. Expressed in volts of electrical energy, the power of these new rays is even more startling. Measurements made by Dr. Millikan in his laboratory in Pasadena show the cosmic rays to have an energy of 1,000 million volts. I shall ask my students, if they can, to try to conceive of this interstellar energy bombarding this Earth. An energy of 1,000 million volts. You must not try to tell me that there is no unseen dynamic force in existence beside which all other forces fade into insignificance. For if you do, I shall ask you to show me a more powerful force than this cosmic force, which is known to have an energy of these 1,000 million volts. I would like my students to lay this lesson down here and try to realize this stupendous fact. There's just one argument or one thought which will come into your mind at this point, and that is that if this statement be a fact, then why are we not conscious of such a dynamic power as that? And in answer to that thought or question, let me state that being conscious of anything is merely a matter of having it called to your attention by some means or other. In this advanced course of Psychiana, I have shown you specifically and definitely the existence of the greatest unseen cosmic power the world has ever known anything about. The little exercises I have given you to do have been designed to show you how to personally contact this force or power or spirit. You did not know, perhaps, when you were doing these exercises, their extreme importance. But when you recognize the fact that you had been projecting your thoughts into an energy of 1,000 million volts intensity, then you certainly were linking up with your thoughts an energy so dynamic that it has never been duplicated in the history of mankind. So you see, after all, there is a scientific explanation of the things I have said to you in my previous lessons. The vast majority of my students have had implicit confidence in me and have believed me. As a result of this simple belief, my files are literally teeming with gratifying letters from thousands of students all over the world. I will confess to you that no living soul has ever completely grasped the intensity of the ocean of power lying within the reach of every one of us. For it will take some time before the greatness of this great God law is fully comprehended. But from different parts of the world, telegrams and letters have come to me by the hundreds stating in no uncertain terms, that some little connection has been made with this great dynamic cosmic realm, and all the religious beliefs in existence are quite insufficient to shatter one little bit of evidence. And if I do not have that evidence, then certainly no man alive does have. No matter where you are, let me say to you that after 2 years' experience with this teaching, I am in a position to state beyond the shadow of a doubt that this cosmic God realm does exist and can be used by you in the accomplishment of whatever proper and right things you desire. Dr. Millikan states that probably these rays are the cause of the things manifested physically and materially upon this earth. If that be a fact, then once more I am borne out in my understanding of the great God law. Prior to the discovery of these rays with their energy of 1,000 million volts, the highest voltage that had ever been measured was that of the gamma rays of radium, which produced about 8 million volts, and the highest voltage ever produced in the laboratory by artificial lightning has been around 5 million volts. In an Associated Press report released through the papers recently, I find the following statements headed by this caption: World Utopia if Cosmic Rays are Harnessed. The source of this terrific power ray is believed to originate in the vast outer reaches of our star-filled universe and can, according to the scientists, be accounted for in only one way. It must be produced by atomic energy. What is atomic energy and how can it be produced? The atom, believed to be the smallest unit of matter, can be thought of as the building block of the universe. All gases such as nitrogen and oxygen, which go to make up the air we breathe, all liquids of which water is the best example, and all solids such as iron, rock, wood are made up of different kinds of atoms, differently arranged in a larger unit called the molecule. Different kinds of atoms have different weights, the same, for instance, as different kinds of animals. Atoms which go to make up gases weigh the least, atoms of liquid weigh more, and atoms of the heavy metals and silver, gold and platinum weigh the most. The atom itself is made up of a central heart or nucleus, which has a positive charge of electricity surrounded by negatively charged particles called electrons. The heart or nucleus of the atom is made up of positively charged particles called protons, together with approximately one half as many electrons. Scientists are already able to blast away the outer electrons of the atom with electricity. When this is done to neon atoms, the energy emitted by the negative electrons rushing back to their nuclei take the form of orange-colored light, which is a familiar sight now along most any city street in the form of neon advertising signs. Only the beginning. This is, however, is only the beginning. The real atomic energy is locked up in the heart or nucleus of the atom so tightly that enormously high voltages of electricity are required to tear it apart. When this heart of the atom is blasted open and reassembles itself again to form a new substance, so much energy is released that it makes our present-day sources of power seem like the brush of a butterfly's wings compared to a dynamite blast. Some idea of this tremendous explosive energy locked up in the heart of the atom may be gained by studying the high voltages which would be given off in the transformation of one substance to another. 27 million volts would be set free in the charges of hydrogen gas atoms to atoms of helium gas. 116 million volts would be produced in the change from hydrogen to the still heavier oxygen atom. 216 million volts would be given off in the change of hydrogen atoms to those of silicon, a metal. 500 million volts would be the result of changing hydrogen to iron, and the 1 billion volts shown by the newly found cosmic rays would be the energy which be generated in the change of hydrogen atoms to those of silver. Is there then a race of super beings out in the depths of space somewhere that have evolved perhaps 1 million years longer than we have and have discovered secrets of making gold and silver from hydrogen gas or other substances? Are they perhaps trying to use these cosmic rays to signal to scientists on Earth? Are they wondering why we do not understand their signals and respond to them? Is utopia of power coming? One thing sure, if we do succeed in catching and harnessing these tremendous powerful cosmic rays, or through studying them learn how ourselves to release and control atomic energy, we may be sure that heat, power, and light will then be as free as the air we breathe. automobile engines that now weigh many hundreds of pounds will be replaced by engines which would need to be no heavier nor larger than a pocket tin of tobacco. If the atomic energy locked up in 1 cubic inch of coal could be released and controlled, it would light, heat, and turn the wheels of industry of New York City for a year. Warfare would be done away with, for beams of atomic energy could be used which would be powerful enough literally to blast a whole continent off the face of the earth or split the earth itself wide open. With atomic energy made available, any substance could be used for what we now think of as fuel. Atomic disintegration of rocks or water would yield tremendous power, and very small quantities would suffice to create all the energy that could ever be used by all the people on the earth. Aviation and radio would take tremendous strides. A man could strap an atomic engine on his back, weighing but a few ounces, and fly through the air as fast as air friction would allow. Neutralize the force of gravity. With such power, it would be possible to neutralize the force of gravity so that air would be as safe or safer than the ground. The food question would be solved, since the unlimited electrical power crops could be grown as fast as desired with artificial ultraviolet light, perhaps from seed to matured plant in a few hours. Travel would be as simple and inexpensive as breathing, and people could readily follow warm weather south in winter and be self-sustaining regardless of economic conditions. Dr. Millikan and his associates are already hard at work in research and plans to study the cosmic rays this summer in many different parts of the world and at all possible levels of altitude. Research so far at the California Institute of Technology in connection with cosmic rays has taken one form in the study of photographing the paths of cosmic rays through what is called a cloud chamber, a large room made of glass and containing moisture-charged air or gas. The cosmic ray leaves a visible path of water droplets of 1,000 photographs taken and developed 34 show cosmic ray tracks. During the experiment, the cloud chamber was in the sphere of influence of a powerful electromagnetic field, and the cosmic ray path showed curvatures dictating that the tiny particles were capable of being attracted by the electromagnetic force applied to them. This would indicate that cosmic rays are of a similar nature to light and X-rays and make a good beginning for further study. It was also noted in the experimental photographs when a cosmic ray hit an atom in the cloud chamber, both positive and negative particles were given off, showing clearly that the heart of the atom had been shattered by the impact, the first step in the release of atomic energy. What will be the next step? I think my students, after reading the above, will at least grant the possibility of this great cosmic energies being a thinking or intelligent energy. Remember, we do not know everything yet about what we have called cosmic rays, and it might very easily be that these scientists are experimenting with the greatest spiritual power the world has ever known. It might very easily be, to repeat, that this old world is on the verge of finding a scientifically true explanation of the great God law in this course of lessons. In a prior lesson, I called your attention to the penetrability of what was called a neutron. These neutrons are probably at the heart of this vast cosmic energy, and if this be a fact, then who can question the ability of these cosmic rays, with their 1,000 million volts of energy, to throw into play some unseen or spiritual force, or power or energy, which can and will and does, in due time, bring into existence material conditions necessary. In 1925, Drs. Millikan and Cameron obtained indisputable evidence of a penetrating radiation which must be of cosmic origin. According to the booklet released by the United States government, number 2986, these experiments were conducted at Mirror Lake, California. Without going into the technical end of these experiments, let me say that the electroscope used by these scientists showed with certainty the determinations of the absolute amount of the penetrating radiation. The statement is made in this booklet: all this constitutes pretty unambiguous evidence that the high-altitude rays do not originate in our atmosphere, very certainly not in the lower 9/10 of it, and justifies the designation cosmic rays. The most descriptive and the most appropriate name yet suggested for that portion of the penetrating rays which come in from above. In 1925, these scientists visit a small lake in Bolivia whose altitude was 15,000 feet. the most crucial tests were there used and readings, etc., were taken. Special attention was paid in these experiments to find out whether or not the mountain area is more or less effective than other portions of the country in sending these rays into the earth. On page 223 of this government bulletin, we find this statement that cosmic rays are produced by definite and continually recurring atomic transformations involving very much greater energy changes than any occurring in radioactive processes. On page 227 of this same bulletin, we find this statement: this whole work constitutes then very powerful evidence the sort of creative or atom-building processes discussed above are continually going on all about us, probably not at all in the stars, and that each such event is broadcast through the heavens in the form of the appropriate cosmic ray. I'm introducing this evidence here merely for the purpose of showing my students beyond a shadow of a doubt that this cosmic realm of creative energy does exist. You will notice that all through my lessons, I have consistently used the words life spirit. I have done this because I believe that there to exist a God spirit, which was and is responsible for every created thing and for every material condition. I do not believe there is a thing or there can be a thing in existence, whether man-made or not, which did not have its origin in the great spiritual God realm. Now, having proved beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt that scientists have established the existence of a cosmic energy so powerful that it has a voltage of 1,000 million, is too much of a stretch of imagination to ask you to believe that this realm of unseen spiritual or cosmic energy is the God realm. I do not think so. Certainly it is there must be a reasonable and natural explanation behind things as they exist. It would be foolish to accept the attitude of many religionists that we are not supposed to know these things, for their history and their origin is not such that it would inspire me to put much confidence in such a statement as that. That is a cowardly way of admitting ignorance. It is also a cowardly thing to do to tell the human race that it was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and without spilling of blood, there can be no remission of sin. All one has to do is study the great heavens above to know there can be no truth in such statements as those. In the first place, they are not reasonable. In the second place, they cannot be proven. And in the third place, they are revolting to the mind of a normal human being. At the risk of being called an infidel and an atheist, I chose to purposely and deliberately throw into the discard such teachings as these. And in throwing over these teachings, I find a new realm opening up. I find there a realm that's illimitable. I find there a realm which my reason dictates to me might very easily answer the entire tangled problem of creation. And as I experiment in a spiritual way with this cosmic realm, I find my theories are changing themselves into proved facts. With the discarding of old allegorical stories of God, I find a new story and a new vision of God, not as some mystical, mythical, miracle-working individual seated in the sky, but I find a vision of an operating spiritual power which is creating every moment of the day and night and which sustains you and me moment by moment on this earth. More than that, I find the existence of a realm of spiritual power, which, when fully understood, might very easily answer the question we would all like answered, that of life and death. I do not think my students can do better for the next few weeks than to try to realize the fact they are surrounded by a most dynamic, unseen cosmic realm, which realm is so powerful in itself that scientists, in their cold-blooded manner of analyzing, have definitely decided that its energy may be measured in terms of volts and have definitely established that this energy equals 1,000 million volts. At this point, let me go back to the question which will invariably arise in your mind until you understand it. That question is, why am I not conscious of this staggering volume of spiritual energy? If you understood yourself as you are, you perhaps would be conscious of it. Take a brick or a lead pencil or some other inert mass. This mass was brought into existence primarily by the cosmic realm of God. Now compare yourself and all your activities and your marvelous piece of physical mechanism with this inanimate object, and then ask yourself, what kind of a cosmic power is it that caused you to be the marvelous, thinking, intelligent being that you are? We know that in a piece of lead or steel, electrical bundles of energy are chasing themselves around with the speed of an express train. We know that we can reduce the physical body to a little water and a few lime salts. But would you attempt to tell me that an aggregation of water and lime salts creates the motivating power behind the human body? That power is an originating power. That power is a thinking power. That power is an invisible power which cannot be explained away by either water or lime salts. There is, my friend, whoever you may be, a very definite connection between you and this great creative cosmic realm of God. For that is all it is. That connection is established and may be continued, as I explained in a previous lesson, through your thought realm. What part of your brain do you think it is that thinks? Physicians will tell you that your mental activities are confined to only a very small portion of the outer layer of the brain. But if the brain itself be responsible for your actions, your thoughts, and your life, then what stops it? I've seen perfectly normal brains preserved for many years. I've seen the heart of a chicken pulsing in a glass jar entirely removed from the chicken itself. There was no brain there. It is foolish to think that life or actions have their origin in anything physical, for that is not a fact, nor indeed can it be a fact. The great creative processes of life itself are conceived in and exist in an unseen realm of power. This is the realm I allude to as the God realm, or as I often call it, the great spiritual realm. Now, in our search for the finer things of life, you at least must admit to me there certainly is enough power in this great cosmic realm to bring into existence for you here and now the things necessary to your happiness. If it were possible, and it was possible, that from a vaporous nebula whirling around in this cosmic realm of God, a planet was created, then would you say to me that no spiritual power exists capable of bringing you the few things you need to make your life happy, healthy, and successful? You take the case of disease. What is that? There can be no disease when the perfect cosmic realm of God exists. For this great power is a building power and not a destroying power. It is a life energy and not disease or death in any sense of the word. Then you ask me from whence comes this disease and this death, and I answer you through an imperfect knowledge of the power of the great cosmic life realm. As the years go by, and as we give this great cosmic God realm a chance to work in our lives, we find that it does work. In other words, we find that by applying the law governing this great God realm, we achieve the results. And the only limitations that can be are the limitations we impose upon ourselves by our disbelief in the realm of the great cosmic God law. I want to say to you now that it is entirely impossible for you to call into play the cosmic realm of God with the desire for success and have failure manifest. Someone once said, "Think failure, and failure will manifest." Little did the one who made this statement realize that he was stating one of the most profound of all spiritual truths. It is not possible for you to think success and have failure manifest if you really think success. You may have to shake off a few old traditions in throwing the power of the cosmic realm into action for the attaining of the things you desire. But it is well worthwhile to do so. You are a lost sheep as it is now. There certainly is no relief for you in the religious teachings of the day. And if it be a fact that mansions are being prepared for you in the sky, you know very well that those mansions can be of no benefit to you here and now. You are thrown back, whether you like it or not, onto a natural power which must exist here and now for you. Now the question is, are you willing to be intense enough and earnest enough to actually spend time enough to release your thoughts into the great cosmic realm, never doubting until the desired things manifest? And here, let me state that the degree of intensity and earnestness displayed is the measuring cap of the results to be achieved. This is a matter for you individually to decide. I can visualize ahead 50 or 100 years, and I can see men and women absolutely depending upon the cosmic realm and absolutely using this realm for the instant manifestation of things which today would seem to be abnormal and beyond the wildest hope of possibility of obtaining. But we are moving rapidly these days, and if you will but realize that this great God law can be instantly contacted by you at any hour of the day or night, then it is only a matter of time and of the intensity of your desires before you know better and have proved the existence of this marvelous realm. I want to close this lesson by stating that the law of the spiritual realm is, in a nutshell, thus: according to your belief, it will be done unto you. Now remember that I'm not asking you to believe in a mythical God in the sky at all, for there can be no scientific belief in that kind of a being. I'm asking you to manifest belief in a proven cosmic energy realm, which your reason can easily grasp, which your common sense tells you might very easily be able to do for you the things you desire. You do not understand the processes whereby these results will be achieved, and neither do I. But if you really want to find out whether or not this great God realm exists, then let me urge you to put yourself and your thoughts where it can respond. If I would say to you, I am going to take you to New York City next week with me, and you would say to me, there is no such a place as New York City, certainly you would never get there. Instead of trying to argue with yourself, there is no such realm as the great spiritual God realm, why not take it as an accepted fact? And it is an accepted fact, and throw yourself unrestrainedly every moment of the day into this great power realm. As you work, or no matter what you may be doing, do it with the consciousness that you are in definite contact with the great cosmic God realm, which created you and which created every other created thing. Do not make the mistake of thinking that you will contact this realm by physical means, because you will not so contact it. You will contact it by mental or spiritual means, and the only means of spiritual power you have in you is the power of your thought realm. So just be quiet and practice the existence of this mighty realm and practice the consciousness of your union with it. This lesson has taken you farther, I think, and given you a better understanding of spiritual conditions than you have ever had before. So read it and reread it. Listen to it and re-listen to it. And do not be afraid to openly commune with this God realm. For strange as it may seem, the spoken word is the motive power behind the spiritual thought. In other words, the thought is the bullet which penetrates the spiritual realm, but the spoken word is the dynamite or nitroglycerin which discharges the cartridge. So speak your desires into the great cosmic realm of God, and those desires will sooner or later come back to you in actual form. So now I leave you with the future being held by you in your own hands. Where you go or what you do depends entirely upon you. Here is the great realm of God. Here exists spiritual power enough to make you an overwhelming victor through life. Here in this great realm exists a wisdom far superior to any man-made wisdom, for this wisdom is God. Here in this realm exists a peace far deeper than any man-made peace can be, for this peace is God. Here in this great realm and in your own hands lies an infinite love far greater than any man-made love can be, for this great love is God. And there lies also achievement, success, wealth, and healing, and everything the human soul can desire at all lies in the great realm of God. I have put into your hands the key that unlocks that door. If any key be needed, and am going to leave you with the knowledge you possess, which knowledge is more than sufficient to throw into play all the cosmic powers of the great Godhead, no matter what your circumstances may be, and no matter what of life's gifts you desire, standing behind you and over you and all around you and under you for your protection and benefit is the great power of the God law. Can it be that you desire a personal God? Then, to the extent that you change your own personality like that great personality of God, will this God appear to you to be a personality? But do you not see that you do not change God from a creative spirit into a little personality? All you really do is change your little personality into the likeness of this great spirit of God. I should like to prolong this lesson. In fact, I should like to talk to you about this great realm for one solid month, or for a year. But that, of course, is impossible, so I am leaving you at this point, and wishing for you the courage and the confidence necessary to take this great God power with you wherever you go, and use it for the manifestation of whatever it is you need. My thoughts run back this morning to the words of a very beautiful hymn, which seemed to be quite appropriate in view of the fact that we are bringing our little journey together to a close. Regardless of the fact that the hymn was written by a Roman Catholic priest, and regardless of the fact that it may be found in some of your church hymn books, I'm going to use that hymn in closing, for it conveys in no uncertain manner the thought that I want to leave you. This beautiful poem was written by Cardinal J.H. Newman of the Roman Catholic Church. He was marooned on a vessel one night near his native city. Not a breath of wind disturbed the smooth bosom of the ocean, and the boat lay becalmed until such time as enough wind came up to carry into port. Standing in the bows of that silent ship, his mind being on things of God, as it should have been, this beautiful saint penned the following words, which will live as long as time endures, and time has no end. Lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on, the night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on, keep thou my feet, I do not ask to see. The distant scene one step enough for me. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I loved to choose and see my path, but now lead thou me on. I loved the garish day in spite of fears. Pride ruled my will. Remember not past years. So long thy power hath blessed me, sure it still will lead me on. Over moon and fen, over crag and torrent, till the night is gone. And with the morn those angel faces smile, which I have loved long since and lost a while. The great probability is that I shall never meet even a small percentage of my students face to face. Many of them come to Moscow to see me, and many of them I'm unable to see. But whether I ever see you or not, I want you to forget all about this little life of mine, with whatever little influence it may have, and I want you to place all your hopes and all your confidence and all your desires in the power which so long has blessed you, and which power surely will lead you on over moon and fen, over crag and torrent, till the night is gone, and with the morn we shall probably see many angel faces smiling, for what morning will bring we do not know now, for we see as in a glass darkly. But you just depend upon one thing, and that is this: when the morning of full knowledge breaks, that knowledge will disclose just one thing, and that one thing will be the closeness and the reality of the presence of God. I bid you goodbye. Ever your friend and teacher, Frank B. Robinson. Examination questions for lesson number 20. These examination questions are for your benefit, and you should know the answers to them all. If they are not clear to you, read your lesson again and again until they are clear. 1. You, the invisible part of you, being a part of the invisible life principle, must have at your disposal all of the power for actual manifestation that is contained in the completeness of the great God law itself. How is this truth illustrated in lesson 20? 2. What would be the consequence if the presence of the God law were to be, even for one instant, removed from this world? 3. What is a light year? 4. Compare the penetrating force of the cosmic ray with that of the gamma ray, which ranks next to the cosmic. 5. Compare them with the reference to the voltage produced by each of these two rays. 6. What is atomic energy and how can it be produced? 7. Instead of the old allegorical stories of God, we have now an entirely different vision. 8. In making use of the God law, what is the measuring cup of the results to be achieved? 9. If you really want to find out whether or not this great God realm exists, what course is recommended? 10. One should not be afraid to openly commune with the God law, the spoken word as well as the spiritual thought has its function. How is this illustrated? 11. Where stands the great power of the God law with reference to you, and for what purpose? And 12. With what well-known hymn is the final lesson of the course brought to a close? And that concludes Lesson 20 of Psycheana. We have completed all 20 lessons of this beautiful series. This is a very interesting lesson. Remember, this is being written in around 1928, so we have not had a nuclear bomb go off. He is talking about atomic energy, and clearly we have not made certain discoveries about atomic energy. It's interesting because Dr. Millikan, who he's repeatedly referring to, did win a Nobel Prize later on after this lesson was posted. I've looked it up to try to find out more about the quote-unquote cosmic rays that he's referred to, and I think that they may have identified certain extreme gamma rays as being some of those cosmic rays. We still don't know all of the details, and there's a lot more that we do know about these cosmic rays. All of that is really probably unimportant with newer scientific discoveries. I think we all know implicitly there's some sort of energy that is coming in that is intelligent. This intelligent energy is discussed in the Law of One, and we have a gateway that we access this intelligent energy through our mind. And this intelligent energy may be made up of cosmic rays. I do believe that it will be discovered at some point, but it's almost impossible to discover using the scientific method. So we always have the spiritual question that comes into play, because there's really no way for us to fully document the bridge of incidents that occurs in connection with thought and then the changing of these energies. I do believe that all energy is a cosmic ray, and that we are interfacing with all of the energies. All of the things around us are cosmic. It's interesting, one of the sort of contradictions, you could say, but when looked at from a different perspective, not a contradiction, is when he says there's nothing happening within. It's all the great without. And then even makes the declaration, which he made in the first lesson, that there is no subconscious. The subconscious, if you want to argue it the way that he's arguing it, is still an extension of our consciousness that we simply are not aware of. So it depends on what he's defining the subconscious as. He is saying that thought is the key and fundamental concept that is creating and interacting with this spiritual law. So I don't think it necessarily contradicts. He does later on say the only way to interface with this God law is through our thought, which is within. Yes, we are interacting with an energy that appears seemingly without. The Law of One and the Neville Goddard stuff is saying even though it's without, it's still within. He's saying for the people that don't understand this process way back when, there's no importance in the idea of oneness. It's just simply that our mind is interacting with an energy, and that energy is then going about creating. And for many people, it's much easier to understand the process of manifestation by thinking of it as the great without, because we are interacting with energies. Clearly, there is no doubt about it. And for many people, when they have that understanding, then they start to go within, because within is what is interacting with those energies. So it is still happening within. Every thought is within, right? So when he says the great without, he's simply talking about the bridge of incidents and the interaction of these energies. So don't get caught up in those contradictions. I don't think they're contradictory. Many people who are New Thought experts would talk about Frank Robinson and simply say he had a very different way of teaching the same lessons they taught in New Thought. Dramatic in many ways, and it's fun to read. A lot of this stuff is fun. I, in particular, like the way the lessons build upon themselves. It's seemingly so simple, yet over time it makes more sense. So I would really love to get some success stories in the comments. If you had any success that you can ascribe to this, if you tried these techniques out, if they worked for you, let me know. other people are going to read the comments to see, hey, is this Psychiana thing legitimate or not? And so by sharing your story, you may inspire others to go back and listen to these episodes, because I do say that it is very helpful, and I've integrated it as a part of my overall cosmology and understanding the God law, understanding that God is a law. It's also a living thing, and you can imagine that it's a personality too, but it's a law. It works through laws, just like gravity, just like any other law in nature. But it's so much more complex, so much more wonderful. But to think of it in terms of a law is helpful when you're trying to understand and facilitate, maneuver and manipulate this God law energy that we're interacting with. So it's really just an advanced course in the law of attraction, with an understanding that you're manipulating energies all around you. In any case, all episodes of The Reality Revolution can be found at therealityrevolution.com. There is a link for the playlist. You can listen to all 20 in a row if you want to. I still recommend, even though all 20 of these episodes are available and you can listen to them like a book, I recommend listening to each episode every 2 weeks, as he suggests at the beginning. By doing it, something seems to happen. These lessons seep in to your subconscious, which I believe is what's happening, seep into your overall thinking, and you learn these lessons in a more effective way when you stretch them out. But in any case, if you want to, go back and listen to them all, and then you can see where it's coming from, because that's just as effective as well. I believe that any way you interact with this, you'll come out the better. In any case, there is somewhere out there advanced course number 2 with 20 more lessons. And if I can find those lessons, I will start to go over those as well. So thank you for sticking with me on this journey of the Psychiana series. Thank you so much for motivating me and your inspiring words. It's made me feel good that this has actually helped some people in understanding their relationship to God and what God is. And also an exciting thing is that people have gone back and looked at many of their superstitions, and they've realized where those superstitions were coming from regarding religion, because he does a good job of breaking down some of those superstitious beliefs we have had based on old religions that we've been taught about since we were children. I'm wishing all the very best for you, and I will use my connection to the God law to imagine with thought all of you being happy, healthy, successful, and living in pure bliss. So thank you, and welcome to the Reality Revolution.